Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 2 of week number 36, studying Mark chapter 8. As we begin today's study, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. You will also find that series featured at our Facebook page, facebook.com/internationalgospelhour. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988 to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Did you miss any of last week's study of Mark chapter 7? All of the recorded lessons in the IGH 260 series, in which we are studying the New Testament one chapter per week, all of those programs since week number 1 and Matthew chapter 1 are always available to freely listen to and or freely download at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Tune in again today and every day. And then finally, before we begin, join the thousands who keep up with International Gospel Hour and visit us at facebook.com/International Gospel Hour and twitter.com/Jody Apple. Let's return to our study of the 8th chapter of Mark's Gospel. In our last broadcast, we completed our key word study of Mark 8. We surveyed the brief outline of the chapter, and then we started working our way through the expanded outline. We made it through Mark 8:21, and we take up next with Mark 8:22-26, Jesus and the blind man, a unique healing. In verse 22, Jesus traveled once again, and Jesus came to the village of Bethsaida. A blind man was brought to Jesus, and those who brought the blind man begged Jesus to touch, to heal him. Verse 23, Jesus took the blind man by his hand, and Jesus led him out of the town. Jesus spat on his eyes, Jesus put his hands on the man, and Jesus asked him if he could see anything. Verse 24, the blind man looked and said that he could see men like trees walking. Verse 25, Jesus once again put his hands on the eyes of the blind man, and Jesus made him look up. The man was restored, and he saw everything clearly. Verse 26, Jesus sent the man away to his home, and Jesus told him not to go back into the village or to tell anyone in that village. Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 30. Jesus and the disciples, who am I? Verse 27, Jesus traveled with his disciples to the towns in the region of Caesarea Philippi. As they were traveling along the way, Jesus asked his disciples this question, who do men say that I am? Verse 28, the disciples answered saying, John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. Verse 29, Jesus asked the disciples another question, but who do you say that I am? Peter responded and said, you are the Christ. Verse 30, Jesus cautioned the apostles not to tell anyone about him. Mark 8, 31 through 33, Jesus and the disciples, Jesus' rejection, Jesus' trials, and Jesus' crucifixion predicted. Verse 31, Jesus began to instruct the disciples that he would have to suffer many things, that he would be rejected by the religious leaders, that he would be killed, and then finally, that he would rise again after 3 days. Verse 32, Jesus said these things to the disciples openly. Peter took Jesus aside, and Peter began to correct Jesus. Verse 33, Jesus turned around, looked at the disciples, and rebuked Peter, telling him, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Mark 8, 34 through 38. Jesus, the people, and the disciples, the cost of the cross. Verse 34, Jesus called both the people and the disciples to himself. Jesus spoke to them, and Jesus said, "If you want to come after me, then you must deny yourself. You must take up your own cross, and you must follow me." Verse 35, "If you desire to save your life, you will lose your life. But if you will lose your life for my own sake and for the sake of the gospel, then you will save your life." Verse 36, Jesus asked the people and his disciples this question, "What will you gain if you have the whole world, but you lose your soul?" Verse 37, "What can you give in exchange for your soul?" Verse 38, "If you are ashamed of me and ashamed of my words in the midst of this wicked time, then I will be ashamed of you when I come into my glory." Let's move now into our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9. Jesus and the multitudes, the second compassionate feeding. In the concluding verses of Mark chapter 7, Jesus left the region of Tyre and Sidon, and Jesus traveled through the region of Decapolis toward the Sea of Galilee. Mark chapter 7, verse 31. The name Decapolis, by the way, literally, that is, etymologically, means 10 cities or 10 towns. There's nothing to indicate, however, that the actual number of villages in that region was limited to 10. Reisner notes this about that region. Another nearby place of refuge for Jesus was that area lying east of the Jordan, comprised of Hellenistic Gentile cities loosely linked by various alliances and political associations. A Jewish minority lived there as well. End of citation by Reisner. People followed Jesus from that region, Matthew chapter 4, verse 25, and earlier in Mark, the legion demon-possessed man, after Jesus cast out the unclean spirits within him, that man left Jesus and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, Mark 5, 20. Thus, having left Tyre and Sidon in Phoenicia, and then having passed through this region, Decapolis, Jesus arrived somewhere near the Sea of Galilee. It was somewhere along the Sea of Galilee that the opening events of Mark chapter 8 take place. Verse 1, the multitudes were still following Jesus. That phenomenon would continue deep into Jesus' ministry. Since Matthew 4:23, we have tracked and we have made frequent references to the crowds that continued to follow Jesus during the course of his public ministry. They are described here, once again, as great. At this point, the multitudes had nothing to eat. We saw this same sort of situation in the context of the first demonstration of Jesus' compassion, the first feeding of the multitude in Mark chapter 6, verse 36. On that occasion, Jesus fed about 5,000 men. Verse 44. There's something to be said here about the devotion of the crowds who followed Jesus for so long after having traveled great distances to hear him. Later in this context, Mark chapter 8, verse 3, Jesus calls specific attention to the distance that many in the crowd had traveled in order to hear Jesus. Thus, both distance traveled to get to Jesus and the time spent with Jesus indicated not only their devotion, but also the apparent physical hunger that many would have been experiencing. Jesus called his disciples to himself, and Jesus spoke to them. In the prior account in Mark chapter 6, Jesus initially challenged the disciples to feed the multitudes. "You give them something to eat," Mark chapter 6, verse 37. Given their limited resources in that setting, no more than 200 denarii, it appears, the disciples did not see how that was possible. In this context, there was no such challenge made by Jesus to the disciples. The challenge in the prior context to his disciples was not Jesus' way of embarrassing them, but it was definitely a way for them to take notice of and then hopefully to appreciate what Jesus was about to do. That's going to come into play after the feeding of the 4,000 in this context when Jesus speaks about leaven, meaning the doctrine of the Pharisees and the doctrine of Herod. Thinking that Jesus was concerned that the disciples had not brought enough food with them on their trip, Jesus asked them, quite pointedly in fact, "Did you see me feed the 5,000? Did you see me feed the 4,000? Do you remember how many baskets of remainders there were in each case? If you saw these miracles, then why would you think I was concerned about whether or not there was enough food brought with us on our trip across the Sea of Galilee? Jesus will close this section with this question, a fairly accusatory one. How is it you do not understand? So, as we move further into the narrative, we will see that the disciples had already witnessed a major demonstration of Jesus' power when Jesus first fed the multitude of 5,000, Mark chapter 6. They would see that again in this context, and in both cases, it should have had a major impact on Jesus' disciples. But, as we saw in a follow-up miracle earlier in Mark 6, the disciples were caught off guard when Jesus walked on the sea to them. They were even more surprised when, after Jesus entered the boat, the wind ceased, Mark 6:51. That's not the first time that Jesus calmed the Sea of Galilee and that Jesus stopped the wind. See Mark chapter 4, verse 35 and following. The first time Jesus asked them why they had no faith. On that occasion, Mark tells us that the disciples feared exceedingly, and that they said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" That's Mark 5, 40 and 41. In the second storm-calming scene, Mark 6, 45 and following, the response of the disciples was expressed this way, "And they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened." Mark 6, 51 and 52. We see then that even before this miraculous feeding of the 4,000, that there was some significant faith testing, some significant faith-building challenges on the part of the disciples with regard to properly and fully appreciating what Jesus did in these mass-feeding miracles. Seeing them should have meant something of great import to Jesus' disciples. But in the immediate context in which they occurred, and then even shortly after they took place, Scripture tells us that the disciples still had trouble digesting Jesus' bread and fish's miracles. Part of the problem, a major part of the problem, their heart was hardened. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Mark chapter 8. These reminders as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.